My boss is terrible, period, I gotta punctuate it. I said I loved your shirt, but behind your back I said I hate it. The lightning strike me down, if I lied, me no one be around when my tongue's untied. Everybody says it's okay, all the little things I say with my big fat mouth. La 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 la.
Oh goodness, we're going on week 5 with that video and it still gets me every time. I laugh because I'm so convicted. Come on, somebody. I want to welcome you, especially those visiting for the first time. It's so glad to have you with us. You know, as a church, you heard during the transition, our vision is to reach people and build lives. And one of our distinctives here as a church is to be a church that speaks life, all right? To be a church that not only inspires, but also speaks to you where you are. And I just got such a sense in worship. I was just so reminded. You know, we sang that song, Oceans, which you may have been familiar with now for many years, but it talks about just a willingness to be led where the Spirit leads, you know, and sometimes that is into the deep of life. And you need to know something. There are times we enter a season or a circumstance, and we know, oh my goodness, it's about to be tough. It's about to be difficult. Then there are other times and we have no clue, amen? And we just dive right into something we didn't see happening. Let me declare and speak a word of truth to you. God promises to be with us every step and in every season. And so today, I just felt as we were singing that song, you know, I know for some of you, it's been a season into the deep. And I'm not just talking spiritually, though that's vital, but also circumstances of life. You know, sometimes it's not uncommon on a Sunday to have an arena of life where you just feel like giving up. I want to remind you, God sees where you are. And he's faithful. He promises. Remember what he did for the Israelites. He took them through the Red Sea, you know, I don't know about you. It's like, can we go round? Can we bypass this section? What does God do? He meets his people right where they are, parts the ways. No, I got a sense God's going to do that for you. He really is. Well, I do want to say, listen, we're in part five of this series, My Big Fat Mouth. And our big fat mouths can get us into trouble. And this series is what I call a Building Lives series. We know some of you are here for the first time. You're the brave souls, right? Some of you have even invited your friends and they've come during this series. That's amazing. You know, like if I think of it, if I was somebody who wanted nothing to do with church, be like, man, trust me, you've got to be there. They're doing My Big Fat Mouth series. You know, you're like, you're offending me now, or are you going to wait till we get to church to offend me? Like, what's going on? But this series has been, I call it a practical discipleship series. You know, as a pastor, I want to let you know, you never outgrow the simplicity of this truth, that God is transforming us into the likeness of his son, Jesus. And so if we can see it in the ministry of Jesus, you can trust that God is transforming us to operate in the same ways. And especially when it comes to the Word of God, we see throughout Scripture statements, verses, moments where they look at the power of words. Last couple weeks, I had a chance just for my soul to be refreshed and my soul to be filled. It was so amazing to hear. A couple weeks ago, Mitch Cherry spoke. Phenomenal job on a critical spirit. How many of you know, I saw that and I said, hey, somebody else take it. Last week, we talked about lying. Jonathan Holt did a tremendous message. Lord have mercy. I felt like on fire as he's preaching. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, these are areas of our life that if we're not careful, we kind of excuse away. Reality is that our words, every time, have a weight to them. They have a weight to them. And today, very simply, I've got one passage. We're going to spend a few moments getting to it, but one passage. It's out of the book of Psalms, and it's chapter 19, verse 14. And it says this, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of this heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That verse in seasons of life has changed the trajectory of my future. The book of Proverbs would also say in Proverbs 18:21 that the tongue has the power of life and death. You know, we grow up in a society, we live in a society where it's like, no, those in authority have the power of life and death. You know, those with the most money have the power of life and death. Those who are the best with manipulation have the power of life and death. No, the reality is that each of us are stewards of our words. And you probably know what I'm about to say to be a reality in your life. Think on this, that our words create the world we're living in. Come on, have you recognized that? That our words, think on that, that it's kind of sticky for your mind. It can get caught in there. Your words create the worlds you're living in. Come on, have you ever complained yourself into a bad time? Are you like, man, the movie's not starting? Back when we used to watch movies, in outside of our house, you know, or complained yourself like into a bad meal or a bad date night or to a bad time with your kids. You can find a power at work there that slowly but surely your words begin to create, if you will, the path for your feet. And Jesus goes, he goes crazy. He says actually that our words are out of the overflow of what's going on in the heart. And so one of the things I wanted to do today was, you've heard the last 4 weeks, different areas, or problem areas, I should say, of our words. Well, today, I've got a prayer for your big fat mouth. That's what Psalm 19:14 is, a prayer for you to add at the beginning and the end of every day. It's a prayer to begin to get into your heart, into your system, so to speak, to begin to infiltrate your day-to-day living. Because this prayer is what has the power to transform. This is probably terrible for a pastor to say, but believe this or not, you can sit under an entire sermon series and leave without changing a thing. It's crazy. It's crazy. I used to do that. I want to encourage you. It's possible. But as a church, our hope is that our Sunday affects your Monday, and that this message, I boldly believe, has the power to take from where you are to lead you to where God has called for you to be. Our words hold so much power. I think of that, words create worlds. Come on, you know this to be true. Some of you are in a workplace environment and you finally got the corner office. Or for some of you, you finally got an office. And the aesthetic touch is very appealing. You love your desk. They threw away the PCs and got you a MacBook Pro, somebody. And you are set up to succeed. I mean, the benefits, you got the promotion, work is great. Not only, you know, do you have people above you, well, now you've actually got people who have to report to you. Everything is great in the workplace environment. Can I tell you, that's one part of the workplace. That's the world we can see. But there's an invisible world, and that's the culture of the workplace. And how many of you know it's possible to have everything looking great and feeling great, aesthetically speaking, but yet if you have a boss who's always breathing down your neck, if you have a boss that micromanages you, if you have a boss that is stifling, or if you find yourself negative, complaining. How many of you know that's an invisible world that can't be seen? Not only is it true in the workplace, it can also be true in the home life. Things can be perfect. Man, we can finally be in the neighborhood we wanted to be in. We can finally have the TV that we've always believed was a promise from God. Somebody say, we can finally have everything set up. Like, come on, parents, our kids are finally cleaning up after themselves. I mean, everything's great. You know, we have things. The pantry's full. There's money in the bank account. It's awesome. You know, we're enjoying life. We're vacationing. Everything's going great. Everything can be aesthetically fantastic. And yet the culture, the invisible world, can be so devastating. It's an invisible realm. Can I bring to mind the book of Genesis where in the beginning God spoke and it came into being? Do you know there's only one part of creation that God created in his image? It's you and it's me. Only one part of his creation was actually given the responsibility to name all of the rest of creation. That's the humans. Those that were created in his image. And so you and I, we can't get away from it. It's part of the fiber. Even if, I'll put it to you this way, even if you didn't believe in God, even if you wanted nothing to do with God, you're still created in his image. And you actually still have that, divine touch on your words. There's a power, you can't shake it. Some of you know this reality in your life. Your parents wanted nothing to do with God. The way they lived, the way they spoke to you, you are still trying to undo what they created decades ago. It's a remarkable, remarkable fact. There are still things in my life that I'm processing. Thankfully, not from my parents, unless it's a bad joke, but typically not from my parents, but from people in my past who said something and it stuck. That's how critical it is that you and I get our words right. Our words right. Think on what possibilities are there. Psalm 19:14. Let's get into it again this morning. This verse comes from David. David would be known of being a man after God's heart. He was not perfect, so we're all welcome to the table to learn from David. In fact, outside of Jesus, everybody in this Bible has flaws. They have problems. They have issues, some more than others. Somebody, all right, they've got baggage. They've got difficult situations they're working through. And you could even say that David especially had some self-esteem cups that were empty. I'll put it to you this way. The prophet comes to anoint the next king of Israel, and all he got wind of was that it's at the house of Jesse. Samuel shows up, gets seven brothers who are all studs, and God keeps telling him, no, 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 no. And then Samuel just says, is there anybody else? And Jesse had left David out in the fields, because he did not want, under any circumstances, David to be seen by Samuel. And yet what? God knows who he's anointed and appointed for the season. But David, you can imagine there was something lodged, something a little sideways that he had to navigate through in his life. And yet, can I tell you, he was a man after God's heart. He was a man after God's presence. And the Lord would do a mighty work in and through him. And much of his life's recorded in the Psalms. And at the end of Psalm chapter 19, David says this beautiful prayer. The words of my mouth, we said it earlier, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. One verse, fairly memorable, but it has the power to shut our big, fat mouth. Self-discipline will get you so far. I promise you. Habits always equal your harvest. I'm all about self-discipline, focusing in. But can I tell you, there's something unique about prayer. Prayer is a gift for you and for me. And real life transformation takes place most often in the hidden place of life. Those early mornings, those evening moments with God, those moments driving in the car on your way to work, there's a song and you can feel the Spirit resonating something in your heart. Can I tell you, that begins a transformation in our lives. And so I realized at the end of this series, not quickly, oh no, we've got to add prayer, but I realized there's nothing more powerful I can gift you than a prayer that will save your future. And it's David's prayer. Notice three things are happening in this prayer. I love it because if anything, it makes us more aware. And if anything, I need to be more aware of the weight of my words. I need to be more aware. So how many of you know I'm not having to have those reactive conversations? Yeah, I've got a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old. Let me just say, every day I have reactive conversations. My girls know when to find me when I'm a little overtired and hangry, hungry and angry. And they know, and it's in that moment they say, Dad, can we play Barbies? And just some stuff bubbles up sometimes. Most of the time it's good, sometimes not so good. And when it's not so good, what do I have to do? Reactive conversations. This prayer makes us proactive about our future. And I want to see, these are going to seem like simple thoughts, but I'm going to unpack them for a moment. First, the prayer is what? May the words of my mouth, nobody else's, not my parents' words, not my kids' words, I'm not going to blame this on my wife's words, not my boss' words. I'm responsible for my words. Some of you are going to have freedom just saying that. Come on, say that. I'm responsible for my words. Some of you teenagers, you need to hear yourself say that. Come on. Some of you need to just say that. I'm responsible for my words. And David's bringing attention to this critical area. And here's what it does. Three effects of this prayer. The first is it makes us conscious of our words. Some of y'all, you're enjoying this service through social media or through YouTube. Can I tell you, before the Facebook post, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. It'll change the way you approach conversations. It will change the way you even approach life in your home, in your workplace, in your pivotal relationships. But here's the kicker. It establishes a consciousness. It makes us just aware of our words. Come on, I want to ask you a question. How many of you knew, don't raise your hands, but you know somebody who's had their wisdom teeth taken out? Usually they're given laughing gas. Have you ever seen any videos of people on laughing gas? It's the best. They are becoming conscious again. And it's a very humorous window of life that honestly, parents, don't ever videotape. But those that did, thank you that it's on YouTube, all right? However, when wisdom teeth are taken out, of course, there's laughing gas has to be applied, you know, and so they don't feel the pain. And there's this sweet comedy, humorous window where one moment they're disclosing their deepest, darkest secrets with you. They're all of a sudden, you know, all their secret crushes. And then sometimes, though, it can be rather discouraging because they'll just tell you exactly how they feel about you. No filter. And it's really, really funny. But if you've ever seen or experienced laughing gas, you know. I mean, you're not feeling the pain, but man, your heart is just out there. You'll be bawling one moment and laughing in hysterics 5 minutes later. It's crazy. And they're just what? They're unconscious of their words. So many times we enter a moment, we enter an experience, and we're struggling with laughing gas. And what I mean is we're just unconscious that the words we're saying are going to stick. It would be fantastic if I could turn on, hey, remember these words to my wife. And then in another conversation be like, hey, you know what? Forget those words. You know, I was out of line. Can you just go ahead and, you know, do what you do and totally forget it? You know? How many of you husbands know by now that's impossible? Right? Yeah, oh, I guess I'm alone. No, I'm kidding. But we all have people in our lives. Well, I still have, you know, conversations I remember from my college days. I still have sentences that were spoken. It's so powerful. And here's what I'm afraid of is we get through a series like this and we just keep living how we've lived and we've not really let it sink in. You are someone's breakthrough, but it requires you being conscious of the words that are coming out of your mouth. Come on, I think we could all just be candid and say for a moment that there's been a portion of our life where the trajectory changed for the positive because somebody came alongside of us and said, hey, this is going to seem crazy, but God just told me to tell you he loves you. You're not forgotten. God wanted me to remind you of Jeremiah 29:11. That though you may feel far from him, his thoughts are for you. He knows the plans that he has for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to strengthen you. I know your circumstances don't feel that. Well, what happens? Can I tell you what happens? Somebody woke up, somebody stepped in, and was conscious of the words coming out of their mouth. I was talking with a college student. He's a senior in the University of Southern Indiana in Evansville. And I volunteered at a local organization, and we just got to chatting. And you know how pastors do. We chat. You chat long enough to find out, oh, okay, are these people interested in God? Do they know God? Where are they? And this guy landed up. He had just given his life to Christ last March. And so he was telling me about what he's excited about, some of the things he did in life. And I was like, man, that's amazing. But you know, come on. As a pastor, you got to say, so what happened? Like, tell me about you and Jesus. Like, how did that happen? And he said, oh, well, best day of my life. He said, I lived a life in high school. He called it the trifecta, three things. He said, I lived a life. It was all about alcohol, drugs, and girls. He said, it's just a trifecta. And really got heavy my junior year, senior year. And he said, I just transferred that right into college. And somebody my freshman year invited me to campus outreach. And so he's like, I showed up. And then I added something to the trifecta. I had Wednesday night Bible study. And then on Friday night and Saturday night, I still had my alcohol, drugs, and girls. I was like, how about that? And he said, yeah, so you can imagine my pattern continued. And eventually Wednesday night took a back seat to life. And Friday and Saturday night got bigger and bigger. He said that continued for another year and a half. And he said, I got involved in a really toxic relationship. And he said, I was driven to depression. He said, my every thought was anxious. He said, Paul, it reached a point where I was flunking class on purpose because I wanted to drop out, get out of the school, wanted to be able to explain it away so I could get out of this relationship. And then he said, somebody came along and invited me to spring conference through campus outreach. And he said, I got the dollars together. He said, at first I tried to weasel my way out of going. But then he said, I decided I got some of the dollars together and I went to spring conference. And he said, you know what? He said, I showed up and somebody got up to speak. He said, they told me how Jesus loves me, how that God forgives me of all my sin, that when I repent and turn from my ways, that God meets me in that moment, that he fills me with his spirit. He doesn't necessarily give me an easy life, but he said, Paul, what I needed to hear, Jesus forgives my sin. What happened? Somebody showed up on a college campus conscious of their words. Now, I promise you, they probably weren't praying this prayer. But somebody showed up with intentionality that the words that they spoke had a weight on their life. I guarantee you, each of us has a story similar to that. A family member who didn't want to showed up and talked to us. A church, a pastor, a friend, somebody in the workplace told us, man, I see what this life's doing to you. There's hope. There's rest. There's freedom. There's peace. What is it when we do those things? It's us being conscious of our words. May the words of my mouth. And then secondly, the meditation of my heart. How many of you know it's great. We need to be very conscious of our words. But then it draws closer to our hearts. May the meditation of my heart. That word, I'm not even going to tell you what it is in the Hebrew. But the word meditation, it doesn't come with maybe all the images that come to mind. Simply what it means is to stew on. It's that thought where you're having pretend conversations on the drive into work, somebody. Am I the only person, right? It's that conversation at the stoplight where the moment happened, but you're meditating and you're stewing. Well, David says, no, don't stew, don't meditate, don't chew on those things. Chew on the word of God and the goodness of God. And that somehow when we're aware of the love God has for us, it transforms the words we have for others. Come on, I have become now consciously aware of when my insecurities are speaking or when God is speaking. I become consciously aware of when my offense is speaking and when my grace is speaking. How did that happen? Well, it happened for me 19 years ago when I transferred from Anderson University to Lee University. And at the end of every chapel, which Christian University students, you know what I'm talking about. You have three chapels you have to go to. And at the end of every chapel, guess what? Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. It got ingrained in my heart and has been part of my prayer regimen now from all those years past. And that's my hope today, is that this will be a gift for you. Add it in to your Bible plan. Add it into your scripture reading. Let's be people who are conscious of our words. Let's be people who navigate our heart well. Because the stakes are high. Finally, what it does for us is this statement, be pleasing in your sight. Sometimes we just need a little bit more of that line in our life. Amen? Lord, may what I'm about to say, what I'm about to think on, be pleasing in your sight. Some of us, we are stewing on what the generation ahead spoke over us. Some of us are stewing on what a past relationship said, how you'll never be able to love people, how you'll never be able to care for people. And God's spoken, the Bible's spoken, pastors have spoken, friends have spoken. But here's what we need to do. We need to shut out that voice and open up and meditate, regurgitate, chew on the words of God over our life. So often self-talk is the most critical discipline in our spiritual journey. How many of you know we could talk ourselves out of all sorts of things, all sorts of times, when God is saying, be conscious of your words, be conscious of your heart, and this third portion is that we would walk in alignment with God, be pleasing. God, may my words be pleasing in your sight. God, may my words be pleasing in your sight. One of the powerful things we have with small groups is that you begin to hash out these sorts of conversations. And we have, you come in this fall, a great marriage small group. Come on, sometimes it's important in our marriages to know. We have young adults small groups. It's important to know as a young adult, man, as being single, what we say over our life is so critical, because we can project our fears, we can project our insecurities, but it's also important what we say, and most importantly, this is the key, that it be pleasing in God's sight. Think of how our futures would shift if we weren't just pleasing mankind, but we live to please God. Amen? We live to honor Him and His ways. Think about that. I was studying for this message, and I got to thinking, man, when was the last time I actually intentionally asked God, man, is this conversation pleasing in your sight? Is this thought pleasing in your sight? When you know how much God loves you, you know you can have those prayers because He's for you. His favor opens doors. He's good towards us. I'm going to close our time together by praying for us. I want to let you know, I believe so strongly in this prayer. We've made something available for you that my encouragement is grab one or two wherever you need to put them. But let this passage begin to penetrate your life, begin to penetrate your mind and your heart. And you'll see, it's not going to happen overnight, but you'll see the power of prayer beginning to transform your relationships. That God will begin to direct your thoughts. He'll begin to direct your mind. He may even bring up some conversations, some ways you've spoken to people. He may ask you to tone down. He may ask you to shift. For some of you, He may ask you to step up, to tone up. But what's critical is that in this series, we invite God into our words. We don't have one life we live now, and then we go home and live however we want. We're followers of Christ, right? For those of us, if you're not a follower of Christ, you're kind of off the hook. But if you are a follower of Jesus, you're on the hook. Like, there's no excusing away our words and the tones and what we are letting stick onto other people. So let's be a church. I want to encourage you. It's always been our dream to be a church that speaks life into others, that speaks hope into others, that speaks the mercy of God into people's pain, into people's panic, that they would know how loved they are. I want to pray for our words. Then I want to give an invitation. We'll say a short prayer for those of you who want to give your life to Christ. Come on, will you bow your heads with me as we close? Father, again, thank you for this time together. I thank you that you love us so much. And God, that your plans and purposes for us, Lord, will come to pass. I bless every person, every family, Lord, every relationship. God, I pray that you would strengthen the life of your people. That God, in this season of life, I thank you, you'd meet every need. That, Lord, our hearts can be postured towards you. And, Father, that we would be a church, we would be individuals, God, fully aware of our words, fully aware of navigating our hearts, that ultimately, God, they may be a life lived pleasing in your sight. We thank you for your grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And just with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to let you know, knowing God is possible. I want to let you know that relationship with God is possible. It's not about attending a church. It's not about becoming a member of a church or showing up on a Sunday. Those are all critical to our life with God. But salvation is given freely to those who call upon the name of the Lord. And I want to let you know, our church, we're great. Not we. Church is a great environment. It creates an atmosphere. For the love of God, I want to encourage you right now, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to invite you to say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I need Jesus. I need to know Him and to walk in His ways. And I ask that you'd forgive me of my sins, and I believe that He is the Savior of the world. And I thank you that on the cross, He bore the weight of my transgressions. But Lord, He also bought me the victory. And I thank you for your peace. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I trust you with my future. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you all this morning. To you online, thank you for joining with us.